Hello and welcome to Peace, the podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Peace, a United Methodist community in Shoreview, Minnesota. I'm Jason Steffenhagen, the lead pastor, and each episode will typically start with a sacred story reading coming from the Holy Scriptures, followed by the message that was given during our Sunday morning worship time. Any announcements for our community will come at the end of each episode, so stick around. If you are curious about learning more about Peace United Methodist Community, you can go to peaceumc.com. Again, that's peaceumc.com. If you would like to find more episodes, you can find them on our website or go to our show page, which is peacethepodcast.podbean.com. Once again, that's peacethepodcast.podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N. We hope that you enjoy this episode. Please like, rate, review, subscribe, and now on to the sacred story reading. Our sacred scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 13, and it's verses 29 through 30, and it says this: Then people will come from east and west, from north and south, and take their places at the banquet table in the kingdom or kingdom of God. Indeed, some are last who will be first, and some who are first will be last. So we've been in this series that we're calling The Table, where we've been looking at the different tables that we find ourselves called to, whether that's the covenant table where the Lord gives out the Last Supper, whether that's the temple, or the table in the tabernacle where they were offering sacrifices, or the Shunammite woman's table where the prophet was invited to stay, or whether it's these different tables that we see throughout the Gospels that Jesus is gathering people around or overturning. And so we've been looking at these different tables. And so in today's gospel reading, we see Jesus inviting people from all over to join him at the table, the banquet table. Before I dive into all of what that verse is maybe here to teach us, I want to tell you a little story. And this happened a few days ago. So I had the opportunity to go down to the Minnesota House of Representatives and be the chaplain of the day and give the opening prayer as they were doing their session in the House of Representatives here in Minnesota. And it was really fun. We got all dressed up. I brought my 14-year-old with me. He dressed up, which was like, oh my goodness. And so we went down. No, you look great. You always look great. So we went down there and we did it. We got to, you know, meet some people and do the thing. And it was really fun and really formal. And then we had to head out. And so after we headed out, I was like, hey, we're all dressed up. Like, this might be an opportunity for you to go in and ask the local nursing home if they have any job openings, because he turned 14 this winter and he's been like asking about possibly getting a little part-time job to make some extra money. We were trying to do this through email for a little while, and then it made more sense just to stop in. I'm like, hey, you're all dressed up. Let's just go do this. And he's like, I'm kind of nervous. I said, yeah, that's part of it. Like, you just got to do this for the first time. Like, you'll be fine. The second and third and fourth time you do this, you'll just be like a natural. He's like, I don't know, Dad, I don't know. So we drive, and he's like, just take me home, just take me home. And then I was like driving towards home, and then I just went right past the turn, and he goes, where are you taking me? And I'm like, where do you think I'm taking you? We're going to the nursing home. And he's like, no! And so we pull into the parking lot. He's like, I'm not getting out of this car. And I was like, no, you're going to do this. This is okay. You can do this. I believe in you. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. And I said, I will get you something. And he goes, oh. He's like, all right, let's do this. And so he hops out of the car. We march in there. And I was like, hi, this is my son, Matios. And he just nailed it. He's like, my name is Matios. I'm 14. I'm looking for a part-time job a few hours per week. Do you have any openings? And like that woman behind the desk perked right up. And she was like, well, we might. Like, let me, you know, here's what you can do. You can go to the website. You can do this. You can do that. Anyway, so she gave us the little rundown. And we walked out. We said, thank you. We walked out. And I was like, how do you feel? And he's like, I think I did okay, but like, whoa, I'm like, woo. And he's like, so what are you going to get me? And I sat there in the car and I went, self-confidence. And he goes, what? And then I did it again. I was self-confidence. And he goes, that's it. And I was like, that's the best gift I could have given you. Self-confidence. And so for the rest of the drive home, the 5-minute drive home from the nursing home to our house, I just kept saying over and over, self-confidence, self-confidence. And I kept saying it different ways, as louder and louder and louder. And he's like, oh my goodness, I get it, Dad. Yes, because new things are scary. New things are scary. None of us like to try something new unless it's like a different play on a burger, then maybe. But like, otherwise, new things are scary. They're hard. The first time we do something, we get nervous. Even if it's something that is natural to everyone else, if it's the first time for us, we get nervous. Here's another statement about something that's scary. Resurrection is scary. I bet you didn't expect to hear that on Easter morning. Resurrection is scary. If you read through any of the four gospel accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in every single one of them, anytime someone is confronted by Jesus or is confronted by an angel, the first thing that they say is, "Do not be afraid. Fear not." When Jesus interacts with people after resurrection, he's like, "Okay, this is going to freak you out, but don't be afraid." Because resurrection, this idea, is a scary idea. Doing things that are new for the first time is scary. New is scary. Resurrection is scary. We don't know what comes next. Like, if someone resurrects from the dead, I don't know what's going to happen next. I can tell you right now, they better tell me to not be afraid, because I'm freaking out. I'm either freaking out like obviously, or internally, it's like my blood is boiling or freezing all at the same time. I don't know which, but I am a mess. Because this concept, this idea, this truth is a scary one, because we don't know what it means. We might know it, but what does it mean? Because that's a big question. Because if this idea is true, then everything's different. Everything's different. If this thing happened, if this is true, then there is no turning back. There is only new ahead. When I was getting up this morning, I was trying to think about what to wear this morning. You know, do I put a suit on? I'm like, that's a little too formal for me. What am I gonna wear this morning? And I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh, I know. I'm gonna talk about resurrection being scary. I'm gonna wear a black polo, because if you know me at all summer long, I only wear black polos. I have a rotation of black polos, one for every Sunday of the summer. That's a joke. I wash my clothes. So I love to just wear a black polo. It makes it simple. You know, like Obama, when he was in office, he just wore like the same three suits every day. That's what I do at church. I just wear a black polo all summer long. And so I thought, I'm going to wear a black polo because resurrection is scary. And so I'm going to wear black. And I walk up the stairs, and I was wearing a sweatshirt because on my way here, I was like, I don't want to like stretch out the polo. I don't want to like have it be all ruffled or whatever. So I just put a sweatshirt on, and my wife's like, you're not wearing a sweatshirt to church. And I was like, well, no, I've got my black polo. And then she goes, you have a black polo Easter Sunday? And I was like, wow, she just woke up. My mind is racing. I didn't want to go into all the details of why I was going to wear a black polo. It just kind of didn't make sense in my head, even though I was trying to make sense of it. And I was just like, you know what? And then the kiddo had YouTube on. And so that thing is blaring away in the living room as I'm trying to get out of the house in order to get here. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I run downstairs and I grab something else. And I'm like, I'll just bring both and we'll see what happens. I'm not doing a wardrobe change. Don't get excited. And so, but the thing is, the YouTube was on, and it was just playing, and it's, you know, and here's the thing about YouTube, is that everything is the best, the most fantastical. Nothing on there is common. Nobody clicks on a video that says, this will be average. This might entertain you a little, but probably not a lot. This won't keep you watching for more videos afterwards, but you might like this one a little. Like, that's not how it's done. Everything on there is, this is the best. This is the most amazing. This is the most catastrophic thing you'll ever see. Watch this person almost get hit by a car. It's amazing. Everything is fantastical and amazing and the most and the best. Nothing is common. Well, here's my second idea. What if resurrection is common? What if it's scary? What if resurrection is common? Because new actually happens all the time. We sang about it a moment ago, that creation itself, nature itself, is telling us the story, that it's happening all around us. We get to celebrate Easter in the springtime as we watch resurrection come up out of the ground, where these seeds go into the ground and they die, and then new life comes forth from something that seemed to be buried. we see resurrection happening all around us. We love the stories of some relationship that's fallen apart, and then there's reconciliation, and there's this reunification of this relationship. We love watching those stories. They don't tell us enough of those on the news, but we love when they do because we trust, and we know this story is true. We know it is because resurrection is actually common. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul actually writes, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ himself would not have raised from the dead. I love that verse. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ himself would not have been raised. We often think that because Christ raised from the dead, now we have hope for resurrection. No. It's backwards. Resurrection is the pattern. Resurrection is the way. Resurrection is the thing. It is common. It is the way nature works. It is the way relationships are meant to work. It is the way that societies are supposed to be built. We're supposed to be able to resurrect things. We're supposed to be a part of something new. We're supposed to be a part of something transformative. And because that's the way God designed it, Christ is the ultimate example of that in human flesh. That is the beauty of resurrection. Is that, yeah, it's the scariest thing imaginable, and it's incredibly common. In Luke chapter 13, the verse that I read earlier, there's a whole context behind it where Jesus is interacting with these religious leaders and his disciples, and everybody's trying to figure out, what are you trying to do with this? What are you actually saying? Because he's going around talking about how this kingdom of God is within you, that it's at hand, that it's near, that it's present, that it's becoming a reality. And everyone's like, well, what do you mean by that? And so Jesus is giving them little parables, little stories that try to get at what it means. And so at one point, he's telling them that, you know, the kingdom's like this seed that's planted into the ground, and then it becomes this big tree that provides shade and home for the birds. And that's what the kingdom of God is. It's this really small thing that takes root, and then it becomes something dynamic and impactful. And then the kingdom of God is like leaven inside a bread, that you put this small amount of leaven and then it permeates the whole thing. And then you have this beautiful loaf of bread that provides nourishment for other people. And so we see Jesus trying to help people understand what this kingdom is all about. And then they're like, well, okay, if that's what this is all about, like who gets to be a part of it? Is it like just a few people? And Jesus, you can just almost sense Jesus in this passage. If you go back and read the earlier part, you can almost see Jesus being like, oh, y'all are not getting it. And the reason why they're not getting it is because they've been prioritizing being right and being exclusive. They've been prioritizing being right and exclusive. They want to be the arbiters of who gets in and who gets out. They want to be the ones that say, you can sit at our table or you can't sit at our table. They want to be the ones to say, we get to sit at the head of the table. We get to sit in the best seat. We get to sit right at the right hand. We get to sit where we want to because we have the power and the privilege to do so. They want to control things. And Jesus is like, I'm sorry to like let you in on this, but like that's not how this works. If you think you get to control everything, you get to boss everyone around and you get to be exclusive, then you've missed it completely. You actually won't find yourself at the table because this isn't an exclusive table. This is an inclusive table. This is a table where people from the east and the west and the north and the south. And when Jesus says that, he's not talking about their fellow Israelites. He's talking about people from all over the place, people that they would have said, you can't sit here. Jesus is saying, guess who's going to be sitting at the table? All of the people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. The last are going to be first, and some people that thought they were first are going to find themselves being last. Because when you keep kicking people out, you've missed the point of this table. That's what Jesus is getting at in this passage in Luke chapter 13. That yes, it's scary to sit next to people whose story we don't understand, whose background we don't get, whose lives we don't understand. It might make us nervous. But that's the table Jesus is inviting all people to. And here's the thing, we need to make that common. We need to make it common to sit around a table where we have to ask each other more questions than just agree that we're right all the time. We have to sit around tables of inclusivity and curiosity and understanding as opposed to tables where we all look the same. Jesus is inviting us to a bigger, more dynamic, more beautiful table. But here's the thing about that table. It's awkward. Resurrection is awkward. It is scary. It should be common. And in order for it to become true, it's going to be awkward for us. Because when you find yourself at a table with others that you don't understand or don't know, it's going to be hard to get to a place of comfortability. You may feel awkward at times. That's okay. Being different from someone is not a deficit. Being different is an opportunity to learn and to grow and expand who we are. And that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. That's what it means to be a transformed person, to be open to the new, open to resurrection. Yes, being scary, but being true. Yes, it needs to be more common, and it's going to be awkward. Because in the end, we are all just a bunch of awkward teenagers trying to figure this thing out. That's who we are. We're all a bunch of awkward teenagers that are trying to do this resurrection thing, this life, for the first time. Every single day is a new opportunity to live into resurrection. Every single day is a new opportunity to put yourself out there, to reach across the aisle, to reach across the table, to ask a better question, to learn something new, to sacrifice for the betterment of someone else. This is what it means to live into the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it is true. It did happen, and it is happening. Resurrection is scary, it is common, and it will be awkward. So let's be awkward teenagers together. Let's let our voice crack. Let's do all of the things that teenagers do, because we're putting ourselves out there so that we can flourish in the world that God has for us. Let's be a resurrection people, because that's the table that Jesus has set. That's the banquet that is before us. Are you going to come eat? Let's pray. Gracious God, God of this beautifully scary resurrection idea where we have to be reminded to fear not. God, we are grateful that this idea is so big and so dynamic and so life-altering that we are scared. God, it's okay. You're with us when we're scared. And we trust that love conquers fear. So God, be with us when we get nervous that we can't do this. But God, help us to live into this scary resurrection idea so that it becomes more and more common. Help us to look around and be reminded that creation has been telling this story for thousands and millions of years, and that we are just a part of it. Help us to be caught up in the common idea of resurrection. Help us to trust that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the Spirit that lives inside of us. And God, may we live into how awkward this may be. May we live into all of the weird questions. May we live into the differences. May we live into the opportunity to be a unified people where we look different and sound different, but we can trust that we are heading somewhere together. God, help us not to stand at the door and decide who gets to come in to the banquet, but God, help us to cut down more trees so we can build a bigger table. And let's keep expanding it. God, help us to build this table where you are inviting all people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We trust, God, that that is true. We trust that you are inviting us to be a part of it. May we do so in the fullness of your strength. May we do that with humility. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Peace, the podcast. If you would like to learn more about our community, go to peaceumc.com. Again, that's peaceumc.com. For more episodes of this podcast, you can go to our website or go to the show page, peacethepodcast.podbean.com. Again, peacethepodcast.podbean.com. May you experience the love of God, and may you have peace.